Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, it's another wonderful night here at Speak On It Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/speakonit11. We're a little short staffed tonight, but boy, we're going to make it happen tonight. Celebration, you live on the line with me?
Yes, of course. I'm here.
All right. Well, that's it. Well, that's all. It just looks like it's going to be me
all
and
we
you tonight.
Need. We all we got. We all we got.
Cornell is in the wind. You got to be from Lauderdale to understand what in the wind means. And Cleon is a little scared. He don't want to get on tonight. So
he said he was going to be in his feelings if he did. Remember now, he said he was going to be in his feelings. So maybe he don't want to be in his feelings in front of everybody.
Well, maybe he is. Then he's not. He definitely didn't want to come on tonight and get on the radio. So. There you go. It's just like it's just going to be me and you tonight talking about sports and entertainment. So,
who y'all talking about? Y'all talking about me?
Say what?
Oh, yeah. There you go. You talked
up. There you go.
Yeah, we talked them up, ladies. They just walked into the studio. Just flew into the studio.
In.
Yeah, we talking to you. We talking about you.
What's really
see,
good,
God don't like
that.
God
really
don't like
good.
Ugly. God don't
like
ugly.
Like
he ain't, huh? He ain't too fond of cute neither. So
like
what
a,
you got?
Like a lady used to say, I used to work with. He don't like the pretty ones too much either. Whatever that
there
supposed
you go.
To mean. But in all seriousness, we got a lot of things to talk about in the world of sports tonight. We got a queen. First thing I want to talk about, and we're not even going to go to break. We're just going to get right into it tonight. First thing I want to go into personally is the University of Miami. And the University of Miami was on the cusp, was on the brink of being the number one team in the nation, and they fell to a 4-7 team last Friday. That 4-7 team was Pittsburgh, University of Pittsburgh, prestigious university in the northeast section of this country. And, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to say this, that the University of Miami needs to really be ashamed of themselves for losing to a team like Pittsburgh. And messing
wow.
up, basically, in my opinion, messing up the whole season. I mean, that's
was
just
it really
just
messing up
my,
the whole season? It was just one game.
Well, the one game knocked them out. Knocked them down from number two to number seven.
Number seven,
now, they have to play a Clemson team that's rejuvenated. And then this Clemson team is well on their way to playing good ball. So it doesn't look good for the University of Miami, in my opinion. Cleon, your thoughts on it, please, on UM.
People lose every day, B. It happens, man. Any given Saturday,
God.
But that time is on a Friday. So it happens. I mean,
sir,
I don't think this ain't.
This ain't
you're
a scene
about
the movie Paid in Full. This is a radio
he's giving
show.
He's giving you so Cameron right now.
Yeah, you ain't lying.
You're talking about a team that had to go and play on a Friday at like what 12 o'clock, something like that, something crazy. I mean, there's a lot of things that come into it. Sometimes you lose the teams you're not supposed to. That was one of them. You know. That was one of them. They can only be one winner. We all understand that. Now, for them to I understand what you're saying as a fan, but for them to really be ashamed, as you said, or whatever, it's them to come out and not try against Clemson because they feel like the season is all for naught. That would be a shame. But they lost the football game. Other than that, in my opinion.
So do you think they've lost momentum because of this one loss to Pitt? I mean, I don't think the fans have given up completely, even though they've dropped down to number 7 in the list.
No, they haven't given up. And you beat Clemson, I think somehow or another you have to be in there. I'm not quite sold on one particular team in front of them either, and that's Wisconsin. So if you take I think Ohio State's going to throttle Wisconsin. That's just me. So with that being said, if Clemson loses to Miami and Ohio State beats Wisconsin, you got a good. I mean, the University of Miami has a really, really good point about getting in, even over in Alabama. So all's not for nothing, you know.
I was going to ask about Alabama. So what does this do to Alabama? I know they have a really strong team, and everybody's really disappointed about this loss. So how does this affect them in the standing?
Alabama had a really strong team but a really weak schedule. And they're not in the SEC championship, in my opinion. I don't think they should play for it. I mean, we're not talking about pedigree. We're talking about wins and losses. We're talking about wins and losses and strength of schedule. If we were just going off of pedigree, I think Alabama would just be a shoo-in every year. But if they're not in the SEC championship, Georgia, and that goes to Georgia and Auburn, you know. That goes to Georgia and Auburn. But, you know, the original thing was talking about the University of Miami. I think the University of Miami lost the football game under conditions that's not normal conditions, and it happened, you know. And Miami had a favorable home schedule. I mean, they played, what, 6 in a row at home, something like that?
I mean, that's a lot. I'm just going to say this like this on here. I think they need their asses kicked.
Oh.
I really do. because
strong language.
You don't lose to the University of Pittsburgh. All right, it's certain teams you just don't lose to, and that's one of them.
Four other people did, and Pittsburgh. And remember now, Clemson won the national championship last year, and guess who beat them last year on their way to the national championship? Pittsburgh.
You know. Well, you know, good point. Good point. But
you're talking about the defending national champs lost to Pittsburgh last year at Pittsburgh. So I'm going to say that Pittsburgh is a hard place to play.
Cat, you don't lose to Pittsburgh. I'm sorry.
Wow.
Pitt
has a decent football team. I don't ever recall it being an awful program. What's so bad about Pitt? What's wrong with the Panthers?
You don't lose to them. You don't. They beat that same Virginia team that Miami beat. And they lost to Virginia Tech, who Miami beat.
Where did they lose to Virginia Tech at? Did they lose to Virginia Tech at home, or did they lose to Virginia Tech on the road?
They lost to Virginia Tech on the road.
Okay.
But they lost
to
UNC on the road. They lost to UNC at home. They lost to NC State at home.
NC State beat a lot of good teams this year. NC State has a chance to beat a New Year's Six. You're talking about New Year's Six teams right now. Come on now, Oklahoma State.
Miami was ranked ahead of all of those teams.
Oklahoma State has the best wide receiver in the country. Did you hear what I said? Oklahoma State has the best wide receiver in the country. Come on, man.
They lost. I don't care about that. He don't make the whole team. They lost to Syracuse,
mm-hmm.
who Miami whooped.
And Syracuse beat the number one team in the country once again in Clemson.
And they ain't had no business losing to them. Listen, Miami had no business losing to Pittsburgh.
You're correct. But it happened. And that's the problem with a lot of fans, that fan is short for fanatic. It happened, and folks got to get over it.
Miami fan or not. I'm
pretty neutral. I'm pretty neutral right now because I take Tiger Clark, a Miami legend, has always told me this: don't be a fan, stay a coach. Don't be a fan. So I'm kind of living by that right now. You know, that's words to live by. Tiger Clark, one of your favorite Hurricanes of all time, Tommy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I just got to pat and say my say on the University of Miami. In other sports news, and this is kind of entertainment related. Mm-hmm. This is pretty funny here. We got a man that
you're
is gonna
do
the
it.
Eagles.
You
no,
see
you,
that
listen to this. Thing.
Don't tell
we
it.
Got
don't tell it.
We got a man suing the Eagles, Fletcher Cox. Fletcher Cox is a defensive tackle for the Philadelphia Eagles, who is my football team, by the way. Go Eagles. That's my squad. Been my squad since 1989. The Philadelphia Eagles, in Mecklenburg County, Civil Court, in North Carolina, which just happens to be the county I was born in, Mecklenburg
County.
Right,
because you were born in North Carolina, yes.
That's right. He's suing Cox because Cox and his wife have been having an affair.
Right.
So
but wait,
they say that
there's
Cox,
more.
Cox has been sending explicit text and Snapchat messages. And discussions of having children together.
Ooh.
He says his wife met Cox on a work trip to Pennsylvania.
Y'all ain't gonna learn about these text messages.
And say he's seeking at least $50,000 in damages. Well, I got one question on this. Who's the Mac?
The woman? The wife?
Can I just say this? Can I just say this? We just had a whole segment on University of Miami beating Pittsburgh, and then this man comes out and proclaims that the Philadelphia Eagles are his favorite football team. Isn't that all the same state right there? I'm asking for a friend.
Man, that's pro football.
I'm just talking. I guess I'm sorry. I just thought it was relevant. Maybe
what? Man, listen. Go back to the question. Who's the Mac in this situation?
Who do you believe is the Mac?
They both scum buckets.
That's what I want.
They both scum buckets.
Who said that?
They both scum buckets. Fletcher Cox, the wife, and the man for putting his business out there. All three of them scum buckets.
That's my thing. I couldn't have put my business out there like that.
Exactly. It's something he's supposed to just, like, handle behind the scenes. But I guess they just wanted everybody all in their business.
Maybe he wanted to bring shame to Fletcher Cox, but, I mean.
How does that bring him shame?
The fact that he was sleeping with a married woman.
Well, I think that makes him look worse than the person who was having the affair, because at least, I'm not saying an affair is a good thing. As a matter of fact, I think it's deplorable. But at least he's being discreet about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't necessary for us to know. Well, we wouldn't have known unless they went to posting. And that's what's wrong with a lot of us grown people. We kind of revert back to our childhood and get in our feelings on these social media posts. And they do cause, it does cause harm and suffering, or what do they call that, when people get nervous and their nerves get bad because they don't feel happy anymore. No, they seek damages in court. Pain and suffering.
Oh.
Pain and suffering occurs because, you know, everybody is privy to what's going on in their private quarters.
In their lives.
Well, I
completely agree with you as far as social media. Social media is the devil. So, I mean, social media is the straight up devil. That's for a whole nother segment. It really is a whole nother segment.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's for a number of different reasons. I mean, you got people so tough on social media. You got people telling their business on social media. It was a deplorable act by Fletcher Cox, and I mean, I think it's equally as deplorable as the man even putting the whole thing out there for any type of notoriety or to bring shame to Cox. I think it's equally deplorable, you know.
What's worse is these shows where we have the estranged wives and girlfriends of professional ball players. There's several of them on TV, Baller Wives, the Wives of NBA Wives, and then they have another one, Wags. We're just opening up the door to the private lives of these professional athletes. And when you put it out there, it's public knowledge. It's public record, so people can weigh in. And you ask for it because you told them, you know?
Well, the number one, how you doing, sir? The number one side chick. Over the last 7 years, has probably been Kim Zolciak Beamerman or whatever her name is from The Real Housewives. She was messing with a married man for the longest on the show, and they were glorifying it on The Real Housewives of Atlanta. And that's when I stopped watching all that foolishness, because that's silly.
Right.
But he wasn't an athlete, though. It was a little different than what we talked about. But
don't
matter. Well taken.
I get your point, brother.
we get your point. But hey, moving right along in the world of sports.
Moving right along. Come on, Cleon. Come on now.
We want to know from the wonderful world of sports. We got this going up next. Up next, we got Aqib Talib and what's my name? Michael Crabtree. Not only did they play football last week, they also did some MMA. I don't know if you saw the clip or were able to see the video, but there's been an ongoing situation with the two of them about a change. So, Aqib Talib, who is probably one of the better defensive backs in the league, and Michael Crabtree is one of the better receivers. Of course, they were matched up with each other, and Crabtree was blocking, and Talib took the snatched his chain off. Crabtree then proceeded to drive him into the ground. And next thing you know, after he drove him into the ground, what proceeded from here looked like an episode after school at Lauderhill Middle School in 1986. Because it was just a bunch of fighting. They were fighting all over the field. Crabtree had his helmet off, and he was still swinging at Aqib Talib. So,
what team did they play for?
I believe it was the Denver Broncos and the Oakland Raiders, if I'm not mistaken. And you know, here's my deal with this. Predominantly, all the players that were fighting were African American, and here we are protesting violence against us, and here we are on the field fighting. So I saw that fight.
I remember what you're talking about now. Oh yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. So, yeah.
It was totally ridiculous. And they make a lot of money, and for them to go out there and act a fool like that, they should get whatever they what came down? I didn't see the suspensions. Cleon, did you see the suspensions?
They both got a 2-game suspension. I'm not sure about the fine, obviously the game check, whatever their game checks are, but they did get a 2-game suspension, both of them.
Well,
can they garnish a whole check like that? Can they take a whole check like that?
Oh,
wow.
Yeah. If you suspend it, you don't get paid. That's it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
Well, I had the pleasure and the liberty on last Saturday night of speaking to one of my elders. I'm not going to say his name on this show, but I'm just going to say his nickname, which I call him Cat. And I was able to speak to Cat. And Cat basically told me, he said they should have thrown both of them out the league. And I have to agree with him. they should have banned both of them out the league. And that's my thing with that. You don't need to be going around there fighting like that. That didn't make any sense.
No.
That was a borderline street brawl. Just my opinion.
Amidst the protests and what we're asking for, you know, and with the whole understanding our plight, you can't turn around and do that. Yeah.
And here y'all go. Y'all in here talking about a protest. And here we are, y'all on the field fighting each other.
That's hypocritical. It gives the opposition more fuel to say, see, why should we do anything you guys are talking about if this is how you treat each other on the field?
Well, Michael Crabtree has a way of getting under people's skin, and Aqib Talib is he thugged out. I mean, that's just the bottom line. That's the second time he snatched his chain. He's also the same man who shot himself in the leg on accident, toting a pistol after the Super Bowl a couple years back, where he had to be on injured reserve for a while. So
he was a very
high character guy.
He was toting a pistol after the Super Bowl.
After the game.
It was sometime after that time, and he did the tactical burst and accidentally shot himself in the thigh.
Yes. I think anybody carrying a firearm, if you shoot yourself, you should have to relinquish your weapon because it's not gonna work out. You can't be shooting yourself in the leg. No.
Well, it's just so much in this. It's so much. I don't even know where to start. Because I want to say, you know, this is remnant to me of the fighting and shooting that goes on at Martin Luther King Day event. You know, you're contradictory. It's just contradictory. You know, here y'all are down in the midst of a protest, and you all around here fighting on the field. Not one, not two of y'all,
but probably about 15 of y'all fighting on the field. Now, here's my thing. Everybody has disagreements and differences, and football is a very tough sport. It ain't for the weak-minded. It ain't for the weak-hearted. It's tough at any level. But, man, at some point, when do you stop? That's my question, and that's all I want to know. When do you stop? So that's all I really got to say.
It don't stop.
Well, that situation is a personal situation. They personally don't like them. They personally don't like each other. And those two young men can't seem to separate game versus street. I mean, they really do not like each other. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's personal with them. And I mean, and we're giving them a platform, and they're using that platform as a means to settle their grudges. And that's ridiculous in itself. So I kind of almost got to agree with Kat on that one.
That's what Kat said.
But in the locker room, when you guys are working with the young guys, you teach them about camaraderie and teamwork, right? And being down for each other and being, you know, being a support system in life, like off the field, because they're a rare breed. Professional athletes, there's not too many of them in the world. So you would think that they would have some sort of, you know, code of ethics amongst themselves that they wouldn't go out in public and behave that way.
That's why I say that it's personal with those two. Like, if they saw each other on the street, it wouldn't, you know, it would be fighting on sight. It wouldn't be a situation of oh, I don't like him, you know, I'm going to burn him next year, or I'm going to lock him down.
Yeah.
There's no, let's knuckle up, let's keep going. You know what I mean? So,
there's no turning the other cheek with them? Like, they can't even,
not with those
like,
two,
develop
like
a skill set?
No, like I said, Crabtree, for whatever reason, gets under a lot of people's skin, you know, and Khalid is one of those who's going to act upon his emotions like that. I mean, he's not just going to – he doesn't channel them very well, you know. He doesn't channel them very well.
Yeah, they to me, they need to put both up out of the league. Put them both out of the league. That'll stop all of that foolishness. It's not nonsense.
That's a poor example they're setting. They're not setting a good example for the youngsters that are looking up to them. You know, even though we say that athletes and entertainers aren't supposed to be role models, it's intrinsic to their profession. They are popular and famous because people know them and like them. So they can't hide from the responsibility of being a role model, you know?
That's right. They can't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it just brings me to another thing. Speaking of the youngsters, we got two Georgia Tech football players. There was a video that took place. TMZ got a hold of a video. They were in the, looks like the weight room, maybe the trainer room, something like that. I don't know.
Players lounge.
All that.
Okay.
And they start arguing and fussing, and one of them knocks the other out. And I mean, when I say knock out, I'm talking about Mike Tyson punch out. I'm talking about out cold. I mean, knock him out. And it actually looked like a glancing blow. He didn't even hit him full alone. But he popped him just right on that bottom of that chin. And, I mean, he just dropped him. Now, here we go again. You know what? I'm not going to get on this soapbox tonight. Y'all take me to break, Tap. Take me to a break. I can't deal with this right here right now. I can't.
You got
to
tap out, Tap.
In my age staff. Old school. Okay, shut up. Okay, what's up? Shut up. Okay, what's up? Okay, shut up. Okay, they what's up? Shut up. Okay, what's up? Right around in my brand new 99 Photo and Volvo. I got a pocket full of beans. It ain't got no place to go, though. But all my boys and boys, they know, though. That's for sure, though.
Are those bigger white jeans you're wearing?
Hell no.
nah, ho, you know they polo. I've been used again, accused again. Did it time been rolling top or something done by one of my using friends? Soon as they seen the bands, hit the season was in. Hell, cause they feeling me, but I understand and they reason being. Yeah, but I'm the man for this. While y'all was doing fine, I was doing time just praying for this. Locked up, make a plan for this. Without all that fancy shit, way too advanced for this. Got photo socks, tank tops, and drawers up under my pants. Shit. Shut up, uh-huh, okay, what's up? Shut up, uh-huh, okay, what's up?
Right, y'all. Well, we back and we live. I'm sorry about that. I was going off a little bit there. I found myself going. I was gonna have to go there. All right, but last one, and this one right here is on the agenda, so I have to talk about this. I really don't want to, but this is possibly the most ignorant thing I've heard in a long time. Ladies and gentlemen, Josh Gordon is back in the NFL, and he has some stories to tell. Celebration, have you heard of this mess? Have you heard this one this week? You ain't gonna believe this right here. Josh Gordon is back in the NFL. He is he's been in and out of whatever type of drug problem.
Oh my God!
Number one, let me say this. He's a phenomenal talent, okay?
Uh-huh.
He is phenomenal. His talent is just amazing.
He's supposed to be starting on Sunday.
He got up there and told these folks that when he was in high school, I don't even know if y'all gonna believe what I'm about to say.
What did he say?
He told them folks that he, in high school, he was making $10,000 a day.
Idiot.
And part of
college. Big dummy. You big dummy. What?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He said he was selling weed. He was making $10,000 he said, a month selling weed.
Really?
Yeah, he told these people.
Really?
And that he'd been
really?
Selling dope. I'm serious. He sat up there, and that's what he told these people. He's back in the NFL now. And that's what he said.
He's hell on the field. He's a remarkable athlete, but what does that mean, or how does that transfer to the rest of his life? Like, how does he apply those skills in his life? Because that's not what you say.
Why are we glorifying this? Why is this being? Why is this news? Okay, so you sold dope. You ain't selling dope now.
Right. Why glorify it? Why even tell the story at this point? Like, say that when you really retire, for real, for real. Like in your book,
it was said that it was a part of his healing, a part of his cleansing and coming to grips with the things that he's done. So that's part of his. That's one of the steps is admitting when he. That's one of his steps to sobriety is admitting his faults and things of that nature.
He said. At Baylor, he was bringing in $10,000 a month in profit.
And Baylor's a Christian school, a very, very strict Christian school.
He was shot while he was in high school, and he lied about the degree of his drug use and said he used alcohol and drugs before every pro game.
No. Why
That's
would
what
he
said.
Okay.
Why is he so? These people that I don't understand. I just don't understand it.
He's giving them fuel and ammo. And when it comes time to pull that card and say, look at these people. You know, they like to call us these you people and these people. This is what those folks are going to be talking about. You know?
Yeah, well, he brought it on himself. Anything that happened to him, he brought it on himself. I couldn't believe that. I mean, $10,000 a month on weed sales in college, he's claiming. So, Gordon.
He could have saved that story. I would have rather, you know, learn about his stats and how he, you know, is a remarkable athlete. I would rather him or whoever does his PR, and I really need for people to get on their job. They need to really coach these young men on what they need to be, and women too. Young women and men in the media need to be coached before they get out there and start talking in a microphone. That's not what you say.
Common sense. I mean, you wouldn't tell.
That's not what you say.
You wouldn't tell.
You're admitting guilt, and statute of limitations isn't over for that. So you basically just telling them, "Hey, come arrest me and throw me in jail," even though I'm starting on Sunday. I would prefer to go to jail, please. What? It's wrong.
Yeah. Well, that one I had.
Amen.
I had to bring that one to the forefront. Before we get into the entertainment report, like all of it was entertainment, it seemed like. We got one more coming from Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. LeBron James has an issue with the other players that are saying that Dwayne Wade was not a good signing. Some of the Cavs players are not happy with Dwayne Wade being on the team. Dwayne Wade has taken a backseat role. He is a bench player, a role player at this point in his career. He is not starting, and he is okay with that. But there were a couple of teammates that didn't want him on the team or whatever. Well, here's my deal with this. This is my thoughts on this. All of y'all that's on that team with Dwayne Wade, most of y'all still don't have as many rings as he has. Y'all don't have the Hall of Fame career that Wade has. Wade is still averaging 12.9 points a game. This is in the twilight of his career. And I'm going to say this, when it comes to playoff time, there's going to be a game or two where Wade reverts back to his old self. We're going to see the old Wade come playoff time because we all know players like that show up in big games. So whoever these idiots are that's on the team, they all need to shut up and be happy And even the head coach, he needs to shut up too. Tyronn Lue, right, who I have absolutely no respect for because I'm an Allen Iverson fan, and I'd be an Allen Iverson fan for the rest of my life. So I have absolutely no respect for Tyronn Lue. He's still that little idiot that got crossed up and stepped over, as far as I'm concerned. So
Crossed up and stepped over. Oof.
They need to be quiet. Talking about Dwayne Wade, who, in my opinion, is the number after Jordan and after Kobe, he is the number three two guard in the history of the game. And anybody that disagrees with that, I want you just to think for a minute. And you tell me who's better after Jordan and after Kobe. No one else. It's Dwayne Wade. And that's my opinion. We're going to switch beats for a second. I'm going to give Celebration the floor. It's time to hear this entertainment report. Here we go.
We're going to leave him. We're going to let him live. We're going to let him do his time in peace and, you know, let it be. But since you mentioned Dwayne Wade, I'll go on ahead and bring on King James. I saw a very nice little story. LeBron James is giving each child who meets the attendance and grade requirements of his I Promise program the opportunity to go to college for free. Now, beyond being a remarkable athlete, I think it's very commendable of him to provide full college scholarships for children, for students who are doing what they are supposed to do in school. Not only should you go to school and make good grades, but you need to be there every day, and you need to be active, and you need to be doing some sort of service project, several of them, because even though they like to pick at us, Tommy, for going to St. Thomas Aquinas, we could not march if we didn't do our service. You can boo if you want to, but we learned something about service at an early
age. That's right.
And I really think that's an important skill set that all of these athletes, like the young guy we were just talking about, had he been involved in a program that required him to serve others, he probably wouldn't be so loose at the lips saying irresponsible and ridiculous stuff like how he's saying right now. But at any rate, cheers to you, King James. That's what you do. You put that money back in to your community and in communities where there are young people who may not have an opportunity to get a higher education. I appreciate that. And other news.
Kudos to LeBron.
Other news. Yeah, I mean, that's big. You know, he makes $300 million a year, you know. He can certainly afford to send a couple kids to college. And I think so far he's sent I know he sent over 100 graduating seniors to college with a full scholarship. So I don't know exactly how many are going in this round, but I'm sure it's a whole lot more than a lot of other full organizations making millions of dollars spend every year. At any rate, in other news, we have some really disturbing stories coming about. Have some feedback, guys.
Hey, somebody got some bad feedback. Okay, go ahead.
We good? Okay. Yeah, we have some really disturbing news. It's coming out. It seems like every week we're seeing more and more stories of women who are complaining about sexual harassment on the job, and the men who are in very high-powered positions being at the brunt or at the forefront of it. We talked about social media earlier in our conversation, but it seems like social media has been the vehicle by which all this information is just steamrolling in, you know, into our homes and on our phones and on our laptops every single day. So as you're fully aware, I'm sure by now, day before yesterday, Matt Lauer from NBC's Today Show was fired for sexual misconduct on the job. And we've been watching Matt Lauer on TV every day since 1997. He comes across as a very, you know, upbeat, happy-go-lucky, concerned, and, you know, outstanding man in society. But according to the reports and what women have reported about him and have detailed about him, he had no other choice. He basically was backed in a corner, and he had to admit that, yes, I am and I was responsible for doing those things. About 2 weeks ago, I saw a story where Brett Ratner and Russell Simmons were being accused of sexual misconduct, and Ryan Seacrest as well, of American Idol and Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Like, basically the whole E! Network and half of Fox is powered by Ryan Seacrest. His stories have died down a bit, and Russell Simmons and Brett Ratner's story kind of took the forefront, and they kind of moved Harry Weinstein to the side. I mean, he's been totally – Harry Weinstein, like, runs the biggest – Universal Films, one of the biggest production houses in Hollywood. So, of course, the 50 women came out, and they all – more than 50, and they all told the stories about how he has been using his, you know, power and influence to behave inappropriately with women. But when Russell Simmons' story came across the table, I said, oh, boy. You know, they're going for everybody. I don't know about this story with Russell Simmons, but I will say this. Today I read where Russell Simmons says that he's not a perfect man, and over the years he has been, you know, involved in things that he's not proud of. He has not been doing anything that he isn't proud of as of late, but he says that he's willing to step down, and he is stepping down from his multi-billion. Russell Simmons has made close to $1 billion. He said that he would like to just, you know, continue the rest of his life out in peace and out of the public eye. It was one letter that was written by a woman who interacted with him back in 1997, and she wrote a very long letter that was posted to the Hollywood Reporter today. And Russell Simmons has just admitted his involvement with it. And I'm seeing a lot of men who are being accused right now are just admitting the role that they played. But I don't know, how do you all feel about this? We hear quite often women's opinions, but I'm on a show with all guys. I want to know, how is this affecting you? Like, what are you thinking about these reports?
Well, number one, what I got to say about all of this is this. Whenever it comes out, I don't care if it was happened yesterday or it happened 100 years ago. If it happened, it was wrong. Now,
right.
let me say that, because the first thing people always like to say is, well, why she waited so long? Why she did that? Well, I can't answer that. I mean, you probably can debate whether it's ethical or not to do that or not. But what if it happened 30 years ago?
Yeah.
If it did happen 30 years ago, then you were wrong 30 years ago. Now, that don't make you a scumbag today, as far as I know, but it made you one 30 years ago. So my whole take on that thing is, when these people start coming out, we got to be so quick not to judge on both sides, because sometimes we quick to say, oh, she lying, or we so quick to say, boy, he's a scumbag. You really don't know if you wasn't there. That's my whole thing. If it is valid,
I want to know. I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. You go ahead. I'm listening.
What's the recourse for the man that didn't do it, though? I mean, because it seems like right now there's just, I mean, every man is guilty and has no chance of being proven innocent. You know, Russell Simmons, like you said, he acknowledged some things that happened, but
yeah,
he said the way he remembered it, it was consensual. So, you know,
right.
What's the recourse for the person that it really didn't happen to? Even though you look at Bill Cosby, do I think Bill Cosby did what they said he did? Yeah. Do I think Bill Cosby did it with all of the people that they said he did? No. You know what I'm saying? And you should only be tried and you know, persecuted or whatever you want to say, for the things that you did, not for the things that somebody makes up. I mean, that's my take on it. You talking about, you know, you on the show with all those guys, you know, the good thing about all those guys that's on this show is every one of us, including the producers, married, and has a daughter. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
So we get it. We understand. We don't want our daughters to have to go through something like that. You know, so
right.
I think we all get it, you know, and I mean we'd probably mm-hmm. be in jail if that happened. You know. Heck, and we'd
right.
probably be in jail if I knew it happened to any one of these guys on the show, child, and I was the first one on the scene, I'd probably be in jail for it. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Because it's wrong is wrong, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that's on both sides.
Well, we see athletes. We were talking a few shows back where the player for the Dallas Cowboys, his estranged girlfriend had accused him of being physically violent with her, not sexually violent, but of beating her up and of, you know, hurting her numerous times. And we, you know, Tap and I were doing some background research and looking up stuff, and we see how, and at the risk of, I want to do some neutrality here. I'm not taking one side or the other. I'm just presenting facts as they were made available. But we were able to discover where the young lady that was accusing him of beating her up, she was in her friend. They were together, working together behind the scenes, and she was talking to the police and texting her friend, you know, cueing her friend on what her friend should be saying. And later, and this was in another case, because the same girlfriend had accused this player on more than one occasion of doing that. But in the first case, the friend who she was exchanging text messages with came out and revealed those text messages and said, yeah, you know, that's not true. He really didn't do that to her. But I say that to say this. I am a female. Not only am I on this show with all males, but I live in a male-dominated society. It's not the first time that I've heard of such things, and it's not the first time that I've ever even really experienced anything as far as what I perceived
yeah.
as being violence, you know? But in the case of Russell Simmons, you understand what I'm saying? In the case of Russell Simmons, and I just wanted to share what he said. And I read her lengthy letter, the name of the woman who has accused Russell Simmons. And I really take this personally, because I really look at Russell Simmons as being, you know, the godfather of hip hop. Like, if it weren't for Russell Simmons and Def Jam and everything that they did in the 70s and 80s, we wouldn't have hip hop culture like we have right now. So
it really
hurts me to read these things. But he says, I've built a life in the past 25 years and reputation in my industry. Hold up. I want to the screen fade it. He said, I need no one to have this visualization of me. I will, like the others, lose work because of this. I realize how privileged I am to be able to risk that. I have children. I'm aware that every mistake, every act of thoughtlessness, hypocrisy, or cruelty I've committed in my 50 years will be excavated, and they'll see all of it. So I believe in the lady who wrote the letter, the lengthy letter. Her name is Jenny Lumette, and she's been working in Hollywood. I read that very lengthy letter, and they did have interactions over the years, over several years. He wooed this woman. Like, he sent her flowers. He sent her 250 balloons, you know. He'd see her at parties. He put her in position with different people to work on different projects. So they had a relationship of sorts. I don't think that in his mind, from his point of view, that he sought out to violently abuse her sexually. And the way that she describes it in the letter doesn't sound like he was violent. It sounds like he was aggressive, but it doesn't sound like he was being violent. And I just think that with all of these stories coming out, women are being empowered, but at the same time, we have this bubble of perception
mm-hmm.
and culture.
I agree.
I didn't know she didn't like me like that. You know what I mean? That's really what I'm seeing from what he's saying. Like, if you want to tell the story and roll out everybody I ever slept with, I'm sure everybody's going to have a story from their point of view. But I didn't intend to have this situation come to the forefront in 2017 as me being a sexual aggressor or predator. Like, I don't, from the way she wrote the letter, it didn't seem like that's how he was taking it. He seemed like he was acting like a man of privilege, a very rich man, and he'd interacted with her before, so he felt it was okay. She didn't feel that way, but she didn't articulate it and didn't know how. So now we have this gray matter of what's abuse, what's harassment, and how do we play roles in it. I just think it's sad, and I'm interested in seeing what's going to happen. But the way that they vilified Bill Cosby, and like you said, Cleon, I don't believe that he's 100% innocent. I do think that he used his privilege and influence to you know, get women and have fun with women. But I do believe that a lot of those women who accepted payment from him, who accepted houses and college for their children and money every month, those women were complicit in some cases. In other cases, I don't know. But the ones that I read about, they seem to be somewhat complicit to me. Anyway.
Well, those are some very, very deep and good points. Where's the applause? You need to get an applause for that right there. That was what applause at, Captain Wing?
I don't want the women to get mad at me. Don't get mad at me, ladies. And I'm not saying that any woman deserves to be treated with violence in any way. In no way, shape, or form am I giving them an okay, a pat on the back, or any sympathy that's undeserving. But as you stated earlier, we weren't there. We don't know exactly what happened. We're just getting the story, and we're just dealing with the facts of the story. And there's a lot of gray matter there that we need to investigate further.
Yeah.
I agree. And, you know, some of us never grow up. You know, you got the little – you can have a little boy in first grade and kindergarten or whatever, picking on the girl or pulling her hair or whatever could be like, and don't know how to express himself. But we got to get out of that. We got to, yeah.
I completely 100%
agree with you. So you tell Mr. Host, you tell my nephew to make sure he keep his hands to himself tomorrow, and don't anybody he like to not treat him in the kind of way. Treat him with kindness. All right, because it's gonna happen tomorrow.
We just have to have these conversations. We got to have these conversations with our boys and our girls about what's acceptable interaction. What do you feel crosses the line? How do you say, I don't like that, and own it and be willing to stand up for yourself if you have to? I mean, it's the same for boys. I have two very attractive sons, and believe me, females are very aggressive too. They are.
Okay, well, tell me something. Something that happened, with Russell Simmons, I'm just talking about Russell Simmons, okay, because I don't care if you assaulted a woman physically back in 1785, you should be, if you're still alive, you should pay for it.
Wow.
But now, in that situation, should he be vilified for that, for something that happened in 1991, and you said it was more of a privilege?
It was in 1997. They had a sexual interaction in 1997, and I believe that with all of the reports that are coming out, he assumed that it was consensual because she took the ride with him in the car. They were alone together in the car. She didn't say in the vehicle, "Let me out." She didn't break the window. She didn't, you know, get hysterical, you know, and that's what. Sometimes people say, well, how was he supposed to know you didn't want it or you weren't with it? Because you didn't get hysterical. You didn't hit him. You didn't fight him. You didn't scream. Sometimes women don't know what to do. And that's what she was saying. She didn't know how to respond because he's a powerful man. They were alone, and he had his driver. And she described what happened as they were exiting the car to go in the elevator upstairs to his apartment. She said that he's very big. He's a tall guy, big guy. Russell Simmons is not a tall, big guy. He's smaller. He's on the smaller side. But the the driver kind of acted like a bodyguard and driver for him. So the bodyguard was in front, Russell was behind her, so they kind of like sandwiched her in. When they got on the elevator, it was just she and Russell. When they were on the elevator, that's when Russell started to put his moves on her. Like he pressed up against her, he kissed her and all this stuff. Now this lady is a writer, so she was very descriptive. She painted the picture from beginning to end. And she said that she was literally paralyzed with fear because she didn't know what was going to happen. And so she allowed it to happen so that she could get out of the situation alive. That's how she basically described it. And a lot of times women have that in their mind that if they fight back or if they push back or if they try to show some sort of aggression or assertiveness, then they're going to, you know, get involved in a fisticuffs with a man. And they don't feel like they'll be successful. So that's what a lot of these women are saying, you know, like, how can I fight back this big guy? He's going to beat me up, and I don't want to be beat up, so I'm just going to just take it. But I don't like it, and I didn't want it, you know?
Well, you know what? Yeah. You have truly said a mouthful tonight. I must say this is one of the most in-depth conversations we've had.
I didn't mean to get too deep on y'all, but this is in the news,
was,
you know.
It was one of the best ones that we've had, I must say, since Cornell said, if you want to see a Democratic National Party, go to Broward and 441 to the welfare office.
Lord.
One of the best ones we've had. In a long time. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to close off for the night. It was another great night here on Speak on the Radio. Look for us next Thursday night at 8 p.m. again. We are moved to 8 p.m. prime time. Cornell is holding out for his check. I know he is. If you're out there listening, Cornell, in Radio Land, I hope you don't get your money. You can come back in and beat the rest of us broke folks.
And yeah, come on back, man.
Yeah, we waiting on you, man. Hey, y'all have a wonderful night. We're gonna close this out tonight. Our thought of the night is basically we let celebration kind of happen at the end. So she said her saying, I think it was very, very well said. So we're gonna close this thing
thanks,
on out tonight, man. I have a wonderful night. That's Cleon, Celebration, and myself. It's another wonderful night here on Speak on the Radio. Again, you see us next week at www.blogtalkradio.com/speakonit11. Again, this is your host, the Lot of Your Legend. Y'all have a wonderful night, and we out of here.
God bless y'all. We out.
Yeah. Woo!